Let's turn today back to the last book of Scripture. Of course, that is the book of Revelation. And as you turn to chapter 6, we're going to put back in today at the end of chapter 6. And I want to give you again the reminder of the purposes of the book. We know that the book of Revelation is intended to designed to encourage believers during times of really, really intense persecution. And the way it does that, by the end of the book, it makes it very clear that God has complete control over the events on this earth, around this earth, and in this universe. So a victory is assured, and we know that we win in the end. Now that's simple to say, and we're going to unpack that a lot as we get closer and closer to the end of the book. So let's look today, chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 12 where we pick up. And I'm going to say as we start, first of all, I lied on Wednesday night. It was unintentional, but it was a kind of a sort of a lie. I told you on Wednesday night that I think we're going to get through all the verses 12 through 17 in one sermon to finish up seal number 6. Well, the problem is I went home and studied some more. And when I did that, I realized there ain't no way. Did y'all know the word ain't is in Greek? That's why it's proper. There ain't no way that I'm going to get through this. And so today my goal was to get through verse 12 and maybe 13. And you'll see why as we go through this. I find it to be quite pertinent to where we are currently. So in chapter 6 and the great tribulational time, Jesus takes the scroll from the hand of God the Father as he is seated on the throne in the vision that John sees earlier in the book. When Jesus takes the scroll, he begins to break the wax seals of that document. And as he breaks those seals, more and more of God's plan for the 7-year period of time called the tribulation is revealed. We've started in on this, and I want to make sure that you keep the overall context. For about the next 10 chapters of the book of Revelation, we're going to focus on different series of judgments. So we're over halfway through the judgments of these seals that are broken. That will then usher 7 trumpet blasts, which will then usher 7 bowls of wrath poured out upon the earth, upon the wicked of the earth. And what happens as you go from seals to trumpets to bowls, the judgments are going to increase in severity. And it's going to be unbelievable by the time we get to the end of these judgments. Now, in between these judgments, there are going to be some gaps. Some people call these interludes in the Bible. And that is where we'll see some scenes in heaven. We'll also be introduced more to the Antichrist, a false prophet, and some of what he's going to do. And that is going to be mixed into these judgments. But where we are right now are these 7 seal judgments. So when we look at chapter 6, here's what we've covered so far to keep everything in context. The first couple of verses of chapter 6, as Jesus breaks the first seal, we are introduced to a horse. In fact, the first 4 seals are called the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. The first horse is a white horse, and there's a rider on that horse that seems to represent a time of peace on the earth. But it proves to be a false peace, just like what the Antichrist is going to accomplish or attempt to accomplish in his deception. Then John sees with the second seal a red horse, which seems to indicate war and bloodshed as peace is taken from the earth. The third horse we looked at was the black horse of famine, a time of great starvation upon the earth. And it's hard to put into words. And if you remember what we talked about there, you'll understand why. The fourth horse was more of a pale, ashen, or light green horse. And that very clearly represented death. And as death was riding on that horse, and I think it was about 1/4 of mankind that loses life during that particular judgment, we also find that Hades is right behind death as a street sweeper, almost as the hearse that is there to pick up the souls of those whose bodies end up being put to death. Then the fifth seal we looked at the last 2 weeks was the seal of martyrdom during the time of the tribulation. There's going to be a lot of believers who lose their lives. Revelation 20 makes it sound like that will come by beheading. So if you are alive during that time and maintain faith in Christ and maintain a commitment to the Word of God being your Bible and the Gospel, you are going to suffer. And more than likely, you will die for that. And when these martyrs cry out asking how much longer, they are told that until the end of these 7 years has been completed, there's going to be more and more martyrs who will give their lives as a witness for their faith in Christ. So we did that last week and finished that up. So now, today, at the end of chapter 6, from verse 12 through verse 17, we find seal number 6. And here is the way I would list this. I think this would be accurate according to the text. Seal number 6 begins with a great earthquake that is going to shake, literally shake the entire earth, and appears will also shake up the universe, causing an impact to the earth. On the back end of this seal, not only do you have the devastation caused by this earthquake, you also then have terror that is going to be in the hearts of the people on this earth as they are literally hiding, trying to maintain and preserve their lives. So we are going to look today at what happens more to the earth. Now, the first five seals kept our mind more on heaven. We see the horsemen in heaven. We see the martyrs in heaven under the altar. But now John, with seal number 6, the attention focuses more on the earth and something that's going to happen here on this earth with the unfolding of the great tribulation. So with that thought, as we get ready to read a couple of these verses, let me ask you this question as we begin. Have you ever thought about what it would be like if the Creator God were to relax His grip on nature just a little bit? See, the Bible says in Colossians, I believe it is, that Jesus, as a second person of the Trinity, He holds this universe together. You wonder why it doesn't fly apart. See, if you knew right now, and Evan, I don't know the exact number, but if you knew right now the speed at which this earth is revolving, you ought to wonder, why am I not being flung off the face of this earth? And of course, we have different forces. We call this gravity, and we are here. But I'm telling you, if God were not keeping His hand on this universe and holding it together, it would probably disintegrate instantly. So here's what we find in number 6. If God were to release His grip on nature just a little bit, what might happen to the earth? And the answer is, according to what John sees, it's a great earthquake and upheaval in nature that brings about a destruction and a fear and a terror that people have never witnessed before. So we're going to try to unfold that today as we go through these few verses. So let's start in verse 12. I think it's going to be wise for us to stop at verse 13 because we won't get past that, and we'll finish up the rest next week, I think. Okay, you catch on to that. All right, here we go. I think we will. So here's what John sees in verse 12. So John says, "And I beheld, I looked, and there when he opened the sixth seal." Now remember, we got a scroll. We've broken five of the wax seals, and now he's gotten to the sixth place where it is sealed. He's going to break that one, and more of the tribulational period will be unveiled. When he opened the sixth seal, John says, "And lo, there was a great earthquake. And when that occurred, it had other effects." And John says, I noticed too, in this kind of in the scene he's receiving, that the sun became black or became darkened just like sackcloth of hair. He then looked up and noticed that the moon too was affected in its appearance. The moon became as blood, I think reflecting more of like a reddish color in what it appears to look like. And then he says in verse 13, kind of a mysterious statement, that when this earthquake occurs and nature is really up, kind of an upheaval, that the stars of heaven, the stars of the sky, fell to the earth, even just like a fig tree would cast untimely or unripe figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Now, this begins a time of catastrophe on the earth. And of course, there's more that he sees, which we're going to look at next week. But I think it would be wise for us to go back and jump into and unpack the start of this in verse 12. So you see, as I see, that seal number 6 is identified and marked mostly by what it says here in the text, a great earthquake. Now, literally, if you don't like the English language, that's fine. Literally, what it says here is when he opened number 6, he saw a shaking, a great one. Okay, that's what it says. Like if you were to crack open your Greek New Testament, the real Bible, like what it was written in, it would say, he saw a shaking, and it was a great one. And the word there for shaking is the word that means to quake, to shake, to tremble, and it is the exact same word from which we get our word, seismology, which is a scientific study of earthquakes. Okay? So seismic activity is a quaking activity, a tremoring activity, a trembling activity, if I can make that word up, a quaking activity. And John says, when number 6 was broken, I saw a shaking. Okay? A great earthquake, and the entire world is going to tremble. The earth is going to go through convulsions, if you want to think about it that way. Entire universe ends up being shaken. And when you look at the description given here and what follows, I think you would agree and conclude that this is going to be the most intense and severe earthquake and devastation that the world has ever, ever experienced. Now, if you think about how you may shake things, my mind went to the way, and I know we, when we were smaller, we had kind of a mid-sized dog. And man, certain dogs, you give them certain toys, and what do they do? They shake their brains out trying to break it apart, right? I mean, that thing's just shaking, shaking. If I do it enough, I'm going to fall off the stage. I'm going to get so dizzy. But a dog would get like a doll of some sort, a toy of some sort, a rope of some sort. Man, they just shake that thing and shake that thing. And you wonder, how does it even survive? Okay, if you think about that and look at the globe, think about our Earth, and imagine the entire earth being shaken. Now, it's not going to be a shaking to that extent to where everything flies apart right now. That eventually is probably going to happen with the bowls of wrath. But initially, such a shaking that is going to scare folks, and they're going to wish they could die with mountains falling on them. Okay, this is pretty severe stuff. So, a literal shaking. Now, here's the reason we're not going to get past much of this today. Here's what I'm trying not to do in Revelation. Sometimes people read the book of Revelation and you look at the actions, you look at destruction, and it's like you're reading a comic book. And your little brain tries to draw a picture of how surreal things will be. And the problem sometimes, I think, is we try to use a description that is not really biblical and doesn't really make sense and fit the context because we just don't know what to do with the text. So what I'm trying to do with Revelation, I'm trying to make it as real as I can so you don't just read over it too quickly. So let's think about this for just a minute. Bible says it's an earthquake, a shaking, a great shaking. It's going to affect the way the sun appears, the way the moon appears. I would imagine volcanic activity will be involved as well. And it's going to be unlike anything that any movie set has ever produced. They try, but it's going to be very, very different and extreme. Now, you tell me what's interesting about the thought of an earthquake given the past 48 hours. So you may have seen in the news, late Friday night into early Saturday morning in Morocco, there was a rare, intense earthquake. And so I want you to know, literally, you've got to think about this. Because if you just read over it and don't realize what destruction is like, you'll never begin to understand what it could be like when you're dealing with this magnitude of an earthquake. So on Friday night into Saturday morning, one of the strongest earthquakes in the last 25 years, which I'm going to share in just a minute, ends up striking Morocco, unexpected. That's the way those things work, right? And last count, I saw over 2,000 people have died in this single earthquake. Now, when I went online just to look at some of this, because I'm trying to make it real to you again, okay? Don't just read it in black and white in the text, but think about what this would look like. This is a picture of a hotel not far from the epicenter of the earthquake. Obvious destruction. I mean, all of us would think, if I go into a brick structure, a cinder block structure, a poured concrete structure, I'm going to be safe. But when you get to a certain magnitude of strength of something like the ground literally shaking, the earth shaking, you realize that concrete and bricks and cinder block just may not provide the protection that you would hope. And so then you go further through the news story and you realize life and death situation. These are people literally fleeing from their homes with rubble all around. Now, we don't have here where we live. Our home's not made of stone like you see in this image. Say, can you imagine if this earthquake were to occur here in Fredericksburg with all the timber structures we have, the devastation? This is one example. So then I went a little further, and this is why after Wednesday night I realized we're not going to get all of these verses done, because then we've got to grasp what does this really look like. So then I went a little bit further, and I know you can't read all this, and that's fine, but I just want you to know the information is there. As human beings, we have learned to appreciate the destructive power of earthquakes. And I think what happens is, I think we forget just how large this world is. If I'm not mistaken, the earthquake in Morocco, I thought I read that the epicenter, well, listen to this, I think I got this right, was 11 miles below the surface of the earth. Can you imagine that? I mean, I can understand if it's like, 100 feet below the surface and why there'd be such devastation. But when you go 11 miles and still have that kind of strength and energy to cause destruction of stone structures and over 2,000 lives lost at this point. And so what we've done as human beings, because we've learned to appreciate the power of earthquakes as we have other disasters in creation and in a fallen world, we've put these earthquakes on a scale of seismic activity. And as I know, scale zero makes sense. You may not feel anything. And what I'm going to show you in just a minute, you may not realize this, but there are hundreds of thousands of quakes that occur that you're completely unaware of because you don't feel anything. As the scale increases, of course, you'll get where some people can feel a slight quake. Indoors, it gets a little worse. You'll see suspended objects sway a little bit. You'll get to a point where you'll feel a little bit tremoring. Things will fall off of shelves a little bit. Of course, it gets even more intense when you start waking up because of tremors. You get to a lower and upper end on different scales on the right-hand side of this chart. Furniture starts moving. Vending machines flipped over. By the time you get to what's called scale 7, now you've got literal fissures, right? You've got openings in the surface of the earth. These are called earthquakes. This is not something to play with. And John says when seal number 6 was broken, it wasn't just a basic, simple, everyday type of earthquake. It shook the earth from one portion to the other. You felt and you experienced devastation. So then I went a little bit further. And again, I know you can't read this. Don't worry about it. The point is, we have come up with a way of trying to measure intensity. We have observed, based on the scale of intensity, what we can expect when it comes to devastation. And then I found one more graphic I thought was kind of interesting. This kind of inverted cone looks at the magnitude of earthquakes and the number of earthquakes per year that's been measured worldwide. Now, it blows me away to realize that even quakes I can barely even feel could be hundreds of thousands of them across the earth. And we don't even know about it. And then they do give you dots
of specific earthquakes throughout recorded history from the 1800s on, and the devastation of level of magnitude, and they try to compare it on the right-hand side of this chart to the energy equivalent of things we are familiar with. For example, an average tornado, the energy in a lightning bolt, an atomic bomb, eruption of a volcano. Okay, you see, so what we're trying to do as human beings, we're trying to get some sense of just how powerful and devastating an earthquake can be. And we have developed a scale of intensity and a way to measure seismic, quaking, shaking activity. Okay, what John sees and says in verse 12, there was a great earthquake. Now, I want to ask this question. We're not going to get past verse 12, I can tell now. I want to ask this question. But I know that probably everybody in here can say yes, probably so. Has everybody in here experienced personally some feel of an earthquake? Now, probably you have. And I'm going to share why in just a little bit, because I want you to again realize how real this is. So my mind, first of all, thinking about earthquakes, honestly, it went back to 1989. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was October. And some of you follow baseball, which Pratt loves baseball. It was during the World Series in the San Francisco Bay Area, 1989. And I'll never forget, the game was supposed to start at about 5:30, I think, Pacific time. At 5:04, right before the game was to begin, massive earthquake strikes San Francisco Bay Area. I don't remember the exact number. I might have written down 6.9. Now listen, because they are prepared for seismic activity with their structures, that size, that population, only 67 people lost their lives. Which is bad, but I'm going to tell you what, when you got something like that quaking on this earth, that is something to be grateful for. But also because of the population of the area, over $5 billion of damage and destruction in 1989. And then my mind, after that, went to the one that you're probably familiar with. And you may not believe this. I think I got this date correct. August of 2011. You realize that? It's been 12 years since our area felt the earthquake centered in Mineral, Virginia. Do you remember where you were? I remember where I was. It was somewhere in Northern Virginia, and I want to say it was Joe Rogers, and we got a deal on a golf course. And we was out there, and all of a sudden, something felt weird. And I'll never forget it. I'm like, what in the world? And all of a sudden, people came out of their homes, and they start wondering, what was that? Well, see, I thought there was a train track not far from where we were. I thought a train had come rumbling by. I had no idea that it had been an earthquake. And get home, and it was enough. Magnitude where, sure enough. Some pictures are falling off the wall. Some things on bookcases are falling over, falling off the shelves. It's like, wow! We just had a real earthquake. We could feel it. And you know what the people in California said? They were mostly joking, but they said the kind of earthquake y'all had, we stir our coffee with those kind of earthquakes. That's what they said. But listen, it was real, wasn't it? I mean, and I'm going to tell you, we'll never forget that because that's not something we normally experience when the whole earth is quaking and things start to fall around us. Of course, it damaged some of the structures in our area. I remember in the Louisa area, there were chimneys they had showing that there had been separation of bricks. And okay, so things like this, we've seen that. Okay, we've probably all experienced that at some point. And you know what people ask? Always, especially when they're in California. Is this the big one? When's a big one? Now, notice something. When people ask about the big one, they never ask whether there's going to be a big one. They ask, when is there going to be a big one? So human beings, we already are programmed to know, based on what we've observed around us, especially in places like California, the big one is coming. Now here's what I'm going to tell you. No matter how big that big one becomes when it happens here on this continent, in this country, whether it be in California or elsewhere, it is still not going to begin to compare with the earthquake that John is talking about in Revelation chapter 6. You say, well, then how bad can it be? So I did a little bit more research, and here's what I found. Just listen to this. The deadliest earthquakes in the past 25 years. Now, believe it or not, the one 2 days ago is on that list right now because over 2,000 people have died so far. But I want to share some of these and give you an idea of how serious this can be. Now, do you remember this? We are in September right now. So it would have been 7 months ago in Turkey and Syria. For about two Wednesday nights here at the church, we prayed for missionaries and people in Turkey and Syria because of a devastating earthquake. And here's what the numbers revealed at the end. 7.8 in magnitude killed 22,000 people. That just happened in February. Now, 2 days ago, so far, we've got over 2,000 lost their lives in Morocco. 2015, 9,000 killed. 2011 in Japan, 19,000 killed. 2010 in Haiti, over 100,000 killed in one earthquake. 2008 in China, 88,000 lost their lives. 2005 in Pakistan, 80,000. And here's the big one. And I'll never forget this one either, but I just did not recall the year. December, day after Christmas, in 2004. Indian Ocean, 9.1 in magnitude. And remember this? It triggered a tsunami, 230,000 people died. You don't mess with earthquakes. If John says in this passage that when the sixth seal was broken, there was a great earthquake, how in the world do you even begin to calculate the loss of life and devastation when this is going to be a worldwide trembling as God is trying to get the attention of people on the earth? 2003, Iran, 20,000. 2001, India, 20,000. 1999, Turkey, 18,000. Top deadliest earthquakes in the last 25 years. Now we take that and we try to put it back onto the text now. This is not a comic book figure. This is not sci-fi for a novel. This is John sharing with us what we're looking at when it comes to the Great Tribulation, the sixth seal. He says there was a great earthquake, and then really, really quickly to finish the verse, when the earthquake occurs, the effects of that with the dust and particles, and we're going to see later, most likely volcanic activity as well, he says, when he looked up at the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Sackcloth, a coarse black cloth. It was made from black goats in Palestine. And they would take the hair of those black goats and it became kind of useful for tents and also for sackcloth. Now the reason for that is as the hair was woven together, it had a tendency to swell as it would get wet, would mat together and actually protected from rain. So the hair of these goats is an excellent source for making tents and making sackcloth. Now, John says, when all of this takes place, just like the blackness of sackcloth made of the hair of those goats, the sun becomes black, it becomes dark, and the question is, what causes this? Now, think again, just use natural logical sense here. If you've got an earthquake, and we see the devastation in San Francisco, we see the devastation in places like India and Pakistan, Morocco. We've looked at some of this. If we've got an earthquake now, cataclysmic proportions that is felt around the world, can you imagine then the air around us? The dust, the particles. And you look up and it's like, man, it's like the sky has been darkened. The sun is not shining as brightly. Oh, it is. It's shining as brightly. But you've got so much stuff now in the air from the devastation that when you look up, John says it's almost like the sun was blackened as if it were sackcloth. And it's not only the sun. He says, then I noticed at nighttime, as the moon is reflecting light from the sun, the effect on the moon with all the particles in the air made it look like, made it look as if it were like blood. He looked up in the sky and this image and this vision, it's like a blood clot hanging up in the air. And it's all because of devastation from this earthquake. Don't take lightly what you find in the book of Revelation. Don't try to make it a comic book image. This is real life stuff. And here's what I'm just going to quit. We're going to pick up in verse 13 next week, which is going to also blow you away with stuff falling from heaven, which again can happen any moment. And you're going to see that as we look at it next week. But let me end with this thought here. And we're going to kind of build off of this next week as well. Here's what I want you to think about. Sometimes we think that for all this to occur, it's going to require a nuclear war. And there are some who teach that. And it may be. But here's what I would argue. I would argue we already have in existence in the created world as we know it, everything in place. All we need is a trigger. And you'll see the events of the sixth seal of the Great Tribulation. So as we go about our day, we don't forget this. Look, for God, it's a relatively simple thing. All He's got to do is redirect the path of an asteroid, y'all. And hang on to that thought for next week. All He's got to do is cause increase in severity, frequency of earthquakes. It would radically change everything on this earth. So by the time I get to the end of time, Antichrist is on the throne. He's promised all this peace. People are following after Him. Christians are being slaughtered. God says, okay, now it's time to end it. And it's going to be seal by seal, trumpet by trumpet, and bowl by bowl. It starts with the number six, a great earthquake, a shaking. Do not lose sight of how real the events in the book of Revelation are. That's my goal as we go through passages like this. So we're going to quit there. We'll pick it with verse 13 next week. I'm going to try to get through the rest. We'll see what happens, but we shall do that. So let's pray. Let's bow as we pray. As we get ready today to leave, and as I do every Sunday, just want to make sure you've got an opportunity today to respond in an invitational time. You know that the altar area is available if you need to come today and bow for prayer. There may be something in your life going on that you need to pray for. And I'm going to tell you this, if this God we serve can cause this kind of an earthquake, there ain't nothing in our lives that's going to be too hard for Him to fix or provide for. So I want you to take advantage of the time we've got before we go. Before we get back out into a world that oftentimes doesn't think about God, doesn't think about righteousness, wickedness, judgment. And maybe you've got something on your heart today to lift up in prayer. And then just in case you're here today without Christ, you're not saved, and the book of Revelation scares you, it's because you're not ready. You don't have Christ as your Savior. And it may be today that God is using the imagery of this earthquake and the devastation we've looked at today, and it's got your attention. And you've realized that you're not ready to face that kind of judgment. You'd be like others in the text we'll see next week crying out for the rocks to fall upon them and just kill them because they don't want to face God. And so you need to be saved. And today is another opportunity God is providing for you to simply say, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm accepting Him as my Savior, committing my life to Him, repenting of sin. If you make that decision today by faith, the Bible says you're born again. You're a new person. You're now a Christian. God's got you in the palm of His hand, and you won't face this judgment.
So I'm going to be quiet as you think, as you reflect, as you pray. I'll close this in just a bit, and we'll be on our way. So, Father, thank you for hearing our prayers today. As we go, please bless with guidance and protection. Provide all we need through this upcoming week and help us to keep in mind that you are an awesome God. And at any moment, you can shake this planet. And one day, you will. So help us to worship you as we consider your power and your authority. We lift up our prayer asking your blessings as we go, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.